Today marks the second Sunday of the Advent season. And we remember that during the Advent season, we look forward to celebrating Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ, when he came into this world. And we know that through him, along with him, when God chose to become flesh and actually come into his own creation, along with him came an invitation, promises to those who placed their faith in him. It was an invitation to fallen humanity that was in need of salvation and a hope, an everlasting hope. And this is the awesome thing of our God. We learned about hope last week, and today we're going to talk about the peace of God, the supernatural peace that only God can offer to us. It's not something that we can muster or conjure up with our own strength, ability, effort, but it is something that God alone can give to us by his grace. And I believe that as Christians, especially during this Advent season, we can reflect on our lives. We can reflect on who God is. We can reflect on how our faith has been growing, or perhaps how our faith, maybe we haven't taken it as seriously, but during this Advent season, as we learn about the hope that is in Christ, as we learn about today the supernatural peace that is in Christ, we'll be encouraged and challenged to depend on him, to know him, to trust in him more. And so we're going to look together in the Gospel of John in chapter 14, and we're going to look at this verse 27 together. So John chapter 14, verse 27. And this is the word of God. This is Jesus speaking. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for your word that is perfect. From Genesis to Revelation, every word penned, inspired by you, the Holy Spirit. So God, would you just give me your Holy Spirit power to preach your word and your message for our church and for all those who are listening. And may you give our church, everyone who is listening, give them a listening ear to hear your truth, but also a heart that is soft to receive your truth deep, that it would make an impact, a long-lasting impact in the way that we live our lives, in the way that we consider our faith and what it means to follow you, our Lord. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, it used to be kind of a running joke that at Miss America and other beauty pageants, when contestants were asked during their interview portion of the pageant, you know, what is something that you want, or what is something that you would love to see happen in this world? That one of the go-to answers for every person and contestant was world peace. Right. And that was kind of, you know, everyone would applaud, you know, and, you know, I would love to see world peace. And, you know, it's kind of interesting, you know, the crowd would cheer and the host would comment, what a wonderful answer. Of course, we all want peace. No one's going to say boo, you know, peace. Right. So the whole crowd would cheer and people would comment on what a wonderful person that contestant must be, because out of all the things that they could want, they want world peace. But what is peace? According to the Google definition, it says that peace is freedom from disturbance, tranquility. It's also defined as a state or period in which there is no war or a war has ended. You see, this is the world's definition of peace. And when you look at that first one, right, where it says freedom from disturbance, it makes it sound like as long as everything is going well in life, as long as your circumstances and everything that surrounds you are lined up and going the way that you hoped for and that you wanted to happen, well, then there is peace. And I think that sometimes, even as Christians, again, we buy into this world's idea of peace, that if you take care of the things going on in your life, if you have control of the things in your life and things are going well, then of course, well, you're going to have peace. And so even as Christians, we do our best to take care of the different areas of our lives, the responsibilities that we may have, so that we feel like we have more control over them. And the more that we feel like we have control, we're taught, well, then you should have peace. But this is not the Bible's definition of peace. And the world's definition of peace pales in comparison to the supernatural forever peace that God wants for us to know. God wants us as his children, his people, to know a peace that is not of this world, and in fact is a supernatural peace that, again, only can come from God. You see, peace is not the absence of conflict and suffering and, you know, conflicts of life. It's not. That's not what peace is. God's peace is something that he gives to us that remains with us and in us, even in the midst of the greatest suffering and conflicts of life. Even when everything is in seemingly disarray in our lives, the supernatural peace of God remains. It stills us. It calms us. And it's not something that the world can offer to us. Only God can give it to us. That's why it's supernatural. And I think this is something that should be exciting for us and comforting to us who are believers of Jesus. And if you're not yet a believer of Jesus Christ, if you do not yet have a relationship with God through forgiveness and salvation in Christ, then you, I hope, as you listen to the words of this supernatural peace, that you'll see that this Jesus Christ, who we look forward to, is exactly who you have been looking for, to have peace, real peace, supernatural peace in your life. And when we turn to God, every time he wants to give us this peace and remind us that it's already with us through Christ. And so we're going to talk about this supernatural peace through 3 points. The first point is this, that peace is from God. Remember last week we learned that hope is from God. Well, this supernatural peace is from God. And so that's the first point that we're going to go over together today. Let's go ahead and look at a couple verses together. We're going to reread our verse for today in John 14, and then we're going to look at a verse in Psalms. So John 14, 27, again, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And then in Psalm 29, 11, may the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. I think when we read these two verses, it is very clear who this supernatural peace comes from. It's something that the world does not give. It is something that the world cannot give. Again, because true peace, supernatural peace, comes from Christ himself. That's what it said in John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus says, I give to you, not as the world gives to you. He makes it very clear. Jesus leaves us his peace. His peace he gives unto us. And I believe what Jesus is trying to make clear, and he's trying to make a distinction, he's saying, I'm not saying your life will be just fine and that there will be nothing that troubles you. I'm not saying that there is nothing that will trouble you or make you worried or afraid. No, he's saying there will be things that trouble your heart and things that may cause you anxiety and worry or fear. But remember this peace I give to you. It's from me. Nothing in this world, no circumstance can take it away. No power can take it away because it is a supernatural peace that is not dependent upon outcomes and circumstances. You know, I think that's why he says these words, right? He says, not as the world gives, do I give to you. And then he says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. See, he's saying there's going to be some troubling things in your life, but don't be troubled. There's going to be some things that make you fearful, anxious, worried, but don't be afraid. You see, Jesus, again, he's not promising that your circumstances and everything that the world teaches will give you peace, will be okay, but the very soul, the very heart of who you are, you can have the peace, the supernatural peace of God, if you know who it is that this peace comes from. And this peace is from God. Now, there are many people who look to all sorts of different things to try to have peace in their hearts. Many people these days are looking to politics and candidates for peace. If just my candidate would somehow win, then there will be peace in my heart. We just need a new administration and there will be peace in my heart, less to worry about. If I just get into my dream school, if I do well in school, if I excel academically, then I'll have peace. God, if you could just tell me my major, if I could just figure that out, then I'll have peace. If I just knew for sure that I'd find a soulmate and that I wouldn't be alone for the rest of my time on this earth, then I'd have peace. If I only knew that I'd have a good career, financial stability, then I would have peace. If my father would just be healed, if my loved one would just turn to the Lord, I would have peace. If my kids would just come out to church with me and show that the things that I taught them when they were younger, that they still believe in those things, then I will have peace. And so on and so on. There's so many things that we look to for peace in our hearts. But again, listen to the words of Jesus and the words of this psalm. You can have everything in this world that promises you the peace of this world, and yet have no true peace, because it only can come from Christ. I mean, you can have all of it, all the things that I just listed, everything that your heart could ever want in this world, and yet you can have all of that. But if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will not have the supernatural peace that lasts through any circumstance, through all the ups and downs of life. That is only through Christ. You see, supernatural peace is from God. So ask God. Ask God for his peace, not for the things in this world that you think will give you peace, but ask God for more of himself. You see, we often think that when we get this or that, so I need to pray God, you know, I need to pray to God so I can get this or that, because those are the things that will give me peace in my heart so I can stop worrying and being anxious or being fearful. And God says, ask for more of me. Grow in your understanding of my love, my grace, and this supernatural peace that I give unto you. So peace is from God, not in anything else, but from God alone. I pray that each of us will remember that. Anytime that we're feeling anxious or worried or fearful about something, turn it to God. Remember who he is. Remember the supernatural peace that is available for those who know him as Lord and Savior. Second thing is this: peace comes in surrender. Peace comes in surrender. So I want to take us back to a time in this world when every person had this supernatural peace. Now, we have to go way back to the very beginning in Genesis. We have to go back before sin entered into this world. And we know and we remember that God created this world. And then, at the height of his creation, he made human beings. He made Adam and Eve, the first two human beings created in this world, and he made them special, and he made them in his image. And when we look in Genesis, before sin enters into the world in Genesis 3, we see that there is a peace, not just because there was tranquility, or not just because there was no disturbance, but because Adam and Eve walked with God. They had a right relationship with God. That was why there was peace. You see, there was a surrender to say, God, I trust in you wholly. I trust in you completely with our lives. With God before sin came into the world. They were surrendered to him. They trusted in him. They were secure in him. They knew that he would supply their every need. But we also remember what happens in Genesis 3. The evil one, Satan, in the form of a serpent, lies to Adam and Eve to make them think that God is somehow holding out on them, that he's withholding something from them that they might enjoy. And see, what Satan did was, what he does is he makes them want more than what they had in the Lord. He makes them want to not surrender to God, but try to take control for themselves. And Satan gave them a way to try to take control of their lives, to do something by their own power, to get something more from God when he said, eat of this fruit. Will you really die? God's holding out on you. There's something more than what he's given to you, himself. And so Eve reaches out with her hand, taking control for herself, not surrendering to God and trusting in his goodness and promises in that moment or his rules, but literally taking it into her own hands, she eats of the forbidden fruit and she shares it with Adam. And immediately what happens? They were once surrendered and they had peace in their hearts, but immediately when she and Adam go and try to take control and want something more than God, immediately, the peace is gone. Shame comes into the picture. Brokenness comes into the picture. You see, when they tried to take control, rather than trusting fully in God and what he had given them and promised them, the peace, the supernatural peace that they had in their right relationship with God was gone. They hid from him. The way they viewed God changed. The way they viewed themselves changed. And I believe when we want more than God, when we want control of everything in our lives and try to do everything by our own power to gain peace, to try to earn it somehow, if I just do enough in this and that, then I will have peace. When we go wanting more than God, we're going to go down a road that ends with disconnect from God, ends with uncertainty, anxiety, and worry and fear. And so when they disobeyed God there, that's when it all entered in. Through sin, there was shame and fear and anxiety and worry. So when they tried to take control, and it's when they were not surrendered to God and who he is. There's a story of a young man who really wanted to grow as a Christian. He didn't want to be complacent, and in many ways, he didn't have peace because he didn't really know if he was ever doing quite enough as a Christian in his life. And so he decided to take control. You see, he made a list of all the things that he would do for God. He wrote them all down on a piece of paper, and he went to the altar at his church, and he put it down at the altar. And he says, God, this is what I'm going to do for you. Look at all these things I'm going to do. But when he put that piece of paper down with all the lists that he, of do's and don'ts that he would do for God and not do against God, he didn't really feel more at ease in his walk of faith. So he went back home and he thought, well, why don't I have more peace? I just wrote down all the ways that I'm going to take control of my faith. I'm going to do all these things for God and stay away from all these things that are not from God. And so he decided, maybe I need a longer list. Maybe I didn't write down enough things that I could do and not do to please God and give me peace in my heart. So he worked all night writing down every single thing that he thought he could take control and do to have peace in his heart. And the next morning, with a much longer list in hand, he went back to the church and put it on the altar, thinking that finally, God, this is what I'm giving to you. I'm going to have peace. And still he felt nothing. Finally, he decided to go to a pastor, an old pastor who had been a Christian, a faithful Christian for a long time. And he asked him, Pastor, I went to God with these lists of things that I want to do for him in my life, and I thought that would give me peace, but I just don't have the peace that I was looking for. And the pastor looked at this young man. He said, take a blank piece of paper. Sign your name at the bottom and put that on the altar. Take a blank piece of paper, sign your name at the bottom, and put that on the altar before God. And the young man, a little bit confused at first, thinking about it and praying through it, he took that piece of paper, that blank piece of paper, signed his name at the bottom, and put it at the altar. And when he did that, there was true supernatural peace that came into his heart. Now, why is that? You see, when we try to take control of our own lives and we believe actually that everything is in our own hands, when we want more than God, when we say, I don't want to surrender to you, God, because I need control in my life. I need more than what you offer. When we get into that kind of mindset, when we get into that kind of thinking, we're bound for anxiety and worry. Even with our faith, if it's all about what I can do, what I can't do, we are left worrying if we've done enough for God. We're left anxious if God really loves us because I messed up here and I didn't do this well here and I have done this wrong here. And then we just stay in a state of there's no peace. But when we surrender to God, we say, Lord, these aren't all the things I'm going to do, all these things in my life. But we say, God, all of me I give to you. Lord, I trust in you. I surrender my life to you. Whatever happens, whatever I do, whoever I marry or don't marry, whatever school I get into or don't get into, whatever candidate becomes president, whatever may happen, God, I trust in you. I know who you are. I surrender to you. And when you have that surrender in your heart, you're going to have supernatural peace that comes from God. There's really two ways to live life, really. There's one where every day you're trying to take control. I'm not saying don't be responsible. I'm not saying that. But where you try to take control as if you are the one in charge of everything, that's one way to live. And you think that you're going to have more peace when you have more control. But I'm going to tell you right now, the other way to live is by faith and surrender. And to acknowledge God and know him in his love, to know him in his faithfulness and in this supernatural peace he will give to you when you learn the art of surrender. It's kind of, it feels almost like uneasy to say that, doesn't it? But that's grace. We always think, I have to do more, I have to do more. That's how I'll have peace. We think about peace even as something that we can gain for ourselves if we do enough things right, if enough things are going well in life. But no, that is not the supernatural peace that God has for us. Even when everything is going wrong, even when nothing has been given to you that you wanted and that you asked for, true surrender is saying, this is a blank piece of paper. My only expectation and my only thing that I truly know and want is more of God. supernatural peace comes in surrender. Have you surrendered your life? What has been keeping you from having peace these days? Thinking about your job or your career, thinking about your children and their futures, trying to control every aspect of your life so that you would have some kind of peace. And then when it seems like it's not working out, you're going to have anxiety and fear and worry. Maybe it's thinking about our church, the future of our church, what that's going to look like. And maybe that brings you worry and anxiety in some way. Our health, schoolwork, exams, projects, relationships. What is it that has been keeping us from God's supernatural peace? Surrender it to God. It doesn't mean stop thinking about it. It doesn't mean stop being responsible, but it means acknowledging and giving over to God your life as a blank piece of paper, but saying, God, whatever you have for me, I know that you are good. I know that you are for me and that you love me. Last thing is this: peace from God is forever. Peace from God is forever. Let's look again at our verse in John 14, 27. He says, peace I leave with you. And it's not a temporary thing, right? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So the world can't take it away because the world didn't give you this peace in the first place. It came through Christ. John 16, 33. This is what the word of God says. Jesus again, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Remember that Jesus, again, he promises us good things, himself, this peace. But he also promises us that there will actually be trouble in our lives. I know we often wish that we were exempt from difficulties of life for knowing Jesus, but that simply isn't the case. We see that in the lives of believers throughout the course of history, those who stand up boldly for their faith in Jesus. We still experience pain. We still experience heartache and all sorts of tragic and difficult experiences and circumstances in life. We're not exempt from those things as Christians. And again, God's promise is never that we would avoid all those things, but it is that when we face them in this broken world, that he would be with us to strengthen us, to comfort us, to give us peace that this world cannot offer. We don't need to be troubled even when there's trouble. We don't need to be afraid or fearful even when there are things that are scary and that should cause us anxiety or worry. That is the peace of God. You guys see that? That is the supernatural peace of God. Don't let your heart be troubled. But God, there's all this trouble in my life. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. But God, there's all these things that are happening that are worrisome. And God says, look at me. My peace I give to you, not as the world can give. And I have overcome the world. You know what that means? The struggle of this life, the promise that there will be difficulty in life, that is nothing compared to the eternal peace that we will have with God through Christ Jesus. So even in the midst of struggles in this life, when there are such hardships that are so intense, where we feel like it's all consuming as we go through them, it's all that captivates our hearts and minds, all of our energy, those hardships that we face here and now will not last forever. They won't. So he not only gives us the promise and the strength to endure, but there's also the promise that if he has overcome the world, that we will have trial and tribulation, but he's overcome the world, it means that it will come to an end in the future. And especially when we go to see Jesus face to face, when we pass, or when Jesus Christ returns, all of it, the tears, the sadness, the sickness, the hatred, the racism, all of these things that sin brought into this world, all of the brokenness will be gone. You see, it is temporary. Let that give you encouragement and hope. He has overcome the world. And how? We look forward to the birth of Christ as God came in the form of a helpless baby. And we saw as he grew, he obeyed God the Father even to the point of death on the cross. You see, he overcame the world because he overcame sin. He overcame death as he died on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day. And now our relationship with him gives us a supernatural peace now that goes on for eternity. We'll have peace in heaven. Do you believe that? Amen. I think that's why we look forward to heaven. We think about heaven as a place where there will be peace. It is paradise. Yes, there will be no worries. Yes, there will be no disturbances, as Google definition says. There will be tranquility. There will be harmony. But do you know why there will be peace in heaven? Again, it's not just because there will be an absence of all these things that were once there in our broken world. There will be supernatural peace in heaven forever because God, the God of peace, Jesus Christ, we will spend eternity with him. You see, heaven is not peace, a place of peace, simply because it does not have bad things. It is peace because we get to know God more fully. We get to grow in our relationship with him for eternity. We'll get to walk as Adam and Eve once did, but even greater in a way because of what Christ has done for us, where there's no sin and shame, there's no anxiety or worry because we're fully trusting and surrender to Jesus Christ, to our God. That is why we will have peace in heaven. That is why peace that God gives to us is forever. And so as we continue on this Advent season, let us remember this supernatural peace. If you're a believer, you have it already. You might forget at times. Things may cause you to worry. Things may cause you to be anxious. Things may cause you to be fearful. Turn to God and receive this supernatural peace of Christ, who has overcome the world, who has promised that this is temporary and that he has everything under his control. Surrender to him your whole life. And remember the great assurance again that this supernatural peace is forever with God in heaven. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you again so much for your peace, not the world's peace. Your peace you give unto us. And as your people, we humbly bow down and worship you and thank you that you offer that supernatural peace to us. We can't work for it. We can't control it, wield it. No, you give it to us graciously. So help us, Lord, to stop trying to take control of everything into our own hands, thinking somehow that that will give us peace in our hearts. Help us to see that we need to surrender our lives to you completely and trust in you completely. And when we learn to do that, and it takes time, but God, as we learn to do that each and every day, in the midst of even the worst situations of life, you will give us that supernatural peace. Thank you, Lord, that that is who you are. And as we're in this Advent season, may we reflect on this supernatural peace even more, that God of the universe had to come into this world in the form of man, though being fully God, so that we might have this peace in us. And we thank you. We thank you that you have made that possible. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.